Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Avodah Zarah Tesvav, Avodah Zarah 15a, pagination is 29. We'll start on the facing page, Masnisin at the bottom of the page. Mokum Shenoago Limkar Behema Daka La'ovde Kochavim Mochrim, a place where you're allowed to sell, according to the custom, the small domesticated animals to the idol worshiper, you're allowed. Makom shenago shelo limkor ein mochrin, a place where you had the custom over there not to sell these small domesticated animals to the idol worshipper, you were not allowed to do so. We have to discuss what the issue is over here. Their typical topic that's discussed is that the idol worshipper of their day was a person who would practice bestiality, meaning having sexual relations with the animal, and therefore selling him this animal would make it more conducive for him to do this behavior, and therefore it was restricted. It's important to recognize that we have to be very careful in translating the word Oved Kochavim in this context. When we're working in Hilchas Shabbos, for example, the word Oved Kochavim, Nochri, Goy, are basically synonymous. And we use it as a term that refers to a non-Jew. In these topics, the word Oved Kochavim is a technical term, and it has to be translated accurately. It's talking about an idol worshipper. It's not talking about just any non-Jew. It's an idol worshipper, and these were people who were wild in their behavior, no regulation. The concept of idol worship is really a self-worship type of thing. I'll do what I want, and I can obtain by paying tribute to this energy or that energy I can get from the rain god and the sun god, and I can do, they're basically self-worship, and they're lawless people. And that's the concept of idol worship. If we take a glance in Yoredei Kuf Nun Gimel, you'll see there's an asterisk, and the note is written, Kol Hadinim, all of the laws over here, in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, Nun Dalet, Kuf Nun Hei, Kuf Nun Vav, the wording is, Nemru Rak Al Zaman HaTalmud, it's talking about Talmudic times, She'oza Yo'ovdei Kochavim Peraim Va'ose Te'eva. They were lawless people, wild people, and they did the abominations. Avalata, but nowadays, kvar tamu chatoim ko'eila, these behaviors have, the wording translated presumably means terminated, it's been stopped. Berov medinas ha'olam, in most places of the world. And these activities are off the spectrum. They're considered unusual, and therefore we would have to carefully apply these laws according to what's relevant in our time. But in terms of translation, to be careful and to remind ourselves, Oved Kochavim in this context is not just referring to a non-Jew in the generic sense, it's referring specifically to an idol worshipper as described. Lawless, who would practice such a thing with an animal that he owned. The Mishnah continues and says, "Uvuchol makom, and in all places, ein morchim lehem be'magasa. We don't sell them the larger, the work animals." And the reason for that, as the Gemara explains, is because we're concerned that if a person sells such animals, there's a transaction between the Jew and the non-Jew. So then he might also come to rent them, loan them, and another example is that he might sell them and might, as the sale is being transacted, he might speak to the animal in a way that causes the animal to do work on Shabbos if the transaction happened right before Shabbos, and that's called mechamer, that's one of the Shabbos observances, not to cause your animal to do work on Shabbos. And therefore, they had this restriction, which also is adapted in terms of the way it's applied in our time, because very often the owner of the animal would not be able to do voice recognition with his animal. They're not that close, not such a personal, bonded type of relationship. It's more of a dealer type of relationship. And for a variety of reasons, these halachas, as we're studying them in the Talmud, have to be applied correctly to modern-day halacha. But this is the statement of the Mishnah. Behema daka, the small domesticated animals are restricted in the places that have such a custom, and the large work animals are restricted in terms of these sales. Let's skip to the Gemara. Lememra, are you telling me, deisura leka, that there's no true prohibition to sell the small animals to the idol worshiper? Minhagahu deika, there's only a custom. Hecha denoig yisir naog, hecha denoig heter naog. And if the custom is to be strict, you have to be strict. If the custom is to be lenient, you can be lenient. Is that the way you understand these laws of selling small domesticated animals to the idol worshiper? Viraminhi, I'll ask you a question. And this quote is brought in halacha. You're not allowed to give your animal over to their overnights. They take care of the animals. Not allowed to do an overnight of giving your animal over to the idol worshiper, because they are suspect on this activity. And they are also restricted on this activity. There are many of the 613 that the idol worshiper would not be bound by. Non-Jew is not bound by. But this happens to be arayis, sexual behavior, and they happen that they are bound by it. And therefore, to give your animal for what could, might, will likely emerge, not quite sure how exactly to word it, but you're not allowed to do that. That's lifnei iver. That's facilitating a prohibition. So we see that there is such a concept that the idol worshippers of their day practiced such behavior, and it should be restricted. So then why in our Mishnah is it all dependent on the local custom? Amar Rav, Makam she'etiru limkar, hitiru liyached. Makam she'asru liyached, asru limkar. You're right. It all depends on what's going on in the local place. And Rav says it's synonymous. The same places that we were worried about their hostel for animals, we're worried about selling them animals. And the places where it's not a concern, it's not a concern for either. That's the approach of Rav, which will get revised as a conclusion. That's not the way we paskin. V'Rabbi Lozer Omer, Rabbi Lozer says, Af b'makam she'asur liyachid mutar limkar. Even in a place where you were not allowed to have the animal overnight, you would be allowed to sell them an animal. And that's why in our Mishnah, even though there is a restriction of overnighting with them, with your animal, you're still allowed to sell them an animal unless local custom was such to restrict it. My taima, why is it based on custom and not a binding law if the hostile case is indeed prohibited? Ovid kochavim chasal behem toshalota aker, because a non-Jew is not going to practice such a behavior, or at least is not likely to practice such a behavior. The idol worshiper is not likely to practice such a behavior with his animal because it could damage the animal. So if it's his own, the idol worshiper will not do it. it's not financially smart. So that's going to hold him back. If it's someone else's animal, and he figures they won't find out why the damage was done, how the damage was done, so then he doesn't have anything holding him back, and the idol worshiper is suspect to behave in this way. Says the Gemara, V'af Rav Hodarbe, and Rav also retracted and now understands the Mishnah like Rabbi Elazar. The Omar, Rav Tachlifa Omar Rav Shila Bar Avimi Mishmei Derav, Ovi Kachavim Chosal Behem Toshalot Ta'akir. The idol worshiper is worried about his animal, that it shouldn't get damaged, and he would not practice this with his own animal. Therefore, going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Eger in Mishnayis, in Psachim, where this comes up, tells us that the explanation of the Mishnah regarding the small domesticated animal is not regarding the concern of improper activity on behalf that the idol worshiper might practice. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out we're willing to buy animals for karbanos from idol worshippers. The working assumption, as our Gemara concluded, is that an idol worshipper would not do this to his own animal because it causes damage. And therefore, what was the concept of yes custom or no custom to sell the small domesticated animals? The explanation is otu behema gasa, that since there's such a restriction by the larger animals, as we mentioned, because of rental or sale, or you might get the animal to do work simply by your voice recognition. So therefore, some places practice such a restriction of sale by small animals, and some places did not practice that restriction. But in terms of this immoral behavior, there is a law that we can't let the animal hostile by them, because on someone else's animal, these idol worshippers were suspect. But in terms of sale, both to them, concerning Lifnei Iver, and as Rabbi Akiva Eger points out, and buying from them for the purpose of karbanos, we're not worried that such activity was practiced. In Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, Seif Aleph, the Mechaber concludes the topic and says, "Uvimekomo she'enom chashudim ba," in places that they do not practice this activity. Like we mentioned, it's not an idol worshiper country. Va'adaraba, on the contrary, makim va'onchem aleha, they would punish somebody who practiced this. Mutter, you would be allowed to let your animal hostile in their kennel, in their environment. So we have quite a bit of insight into the way it was practiced in the time of the Talmud, and we have the concept that we have to be quite careful as to how we apply these laws in our time to make sure to apply them accurately. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.